This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Over coffee, conversation in full swing, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Friday, and that means we bring your favorite people in various fields so that we can get to know them a little better. They may be in music, in business, in arts, in communities, or sports. And this morning, we are joined in studio by Dr. Koke Chotsebe. Now, last year, like we said earlier on, she was the team psychologist for Banyana Banyana during the FIFA Women's World Cup. And in 2022, she was appointed as a psychologist for Team SA at the African Union Regional 5 Youth Games that were hosted out in Malawi. From Mahwelereng to the world, long story short, we are joined by a female version of Mukoni. You can call her Mukoni Kazi. An award-winning clinical psychologist in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. I think there's something different that we must be doing in this radio season because I think during COVID, even when you were the producer of the show, we have always had Dr. Tsebe on our hit list.
Yes.
But it has never been happening. And yes. I wonder now, why did she say yes to our call to come and join us in studio for Over Coffee Conversation?
Right. In my time, I had not contacted her, but she was on the list.
Yeah.
She was on the list.
Yeah.
Like, so we've always wanted to have you in studio. Forever and ever and ever.
And finally.
And finally you are here. And I think there have been times where we reached out and sometimes our, you know, our calendar clashes. You had to go outside the country. You had to go outside the continent. Hebana. Mukoni Kazi.
Welcome, 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 Mukoni Kazi.
good morning, and good morning to the Capricorn FM listeners.
Yeah. You know, I think because we started with how much we could, it was just so difficult for us to get hold of you. You travel a lot, don't you?
Not necessarily, hey.
Okay. For work. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a very structured and controlled traveling.
Oh, we get it. Does it ever like shock you to say, oh my goodness, this is me, Kokecho, representing my country. That is the ultimate.
I think I recently got shocked when I got some great news for the regarding sports development and international competition. I think that was a point where I felt like, really, it's happening. But I felt this. I felt the same during the World Cup as well.
Yeah.
Especially on the first game when you realize that it's actually big.
I'm here and it's big and they want me from Mahwelereng.
Yeah.
I mean, when completion said from Mahwelereng to the world, I mean, how has it been like for you as a young girl growing up in Mahwelereng, the kind of dreams you had, were there anything that looked like this?
It turned out exactly the way I planned it.
Wow.
So you can imagine you're in the township and I went to the University of Limpopo. But I had this dream to become a sports psychologist.
Okay.
So I kept reading and reaching out to people. But I always knew that it will turn out to be good. Mm-hmm. There was no time frame. Mm. But the minute it's starting to shape up and advances, I really, really got shocked. Mm. And yet humbled at the same time.
Yeah. Sure. What draw you to the profession? I mean, surely there must have been something that inspired you to look towards that. Because, you know, back then, everybody else looks at the very same thing. You know, either they want to do law or they want to become a doctor or they want to, you know what I mean? But to be a clinical psychologist and mainly focus in sports, surely there must have been some force that was behind that idea.
Absolutely, Combs. I grew up in a family that embraced sports, actually.
Uh-huh.
From Karai, Lilwela Sports, ka weekend, Lobo Papa, Ojoa Mahwelereng, playing for Mahwelereng Spikes, you know, where there was a lot of, you remember there used to be Mahwelereng Red Rovers, who was involved in cricket, different sporting codes actually in Mahwelereng.
Yeah.
So that's when I realized that I want a career in sports because this fulfills me. This is actually my happy place.
Yeah.
That's when I learned about the discipline of sports psychology. I think I was around grade 10.
Wow.
And I said, I'm going to get this. Like, this is what I want to become. Like, no maganjan, I must become a sports psychologist.
So you knew that something in sports, because usually when someone says, I want to do something in sports, they think of playing, being on the field.
Yes.
In whatever sporting court. So for you, you knew that it had to be something off the pitch.
Correct.
And just eat your money in peace there at the back. Were you a bookworm?
I've always been a hard worker.
Okay.
I wouldn't, really, really interested in academia. Really, really would take time to wake up early in the morning to prepare for classes, to do my work. So I've always been passionate about books, reading.
What are the books I'm
Oh, wow, Bukas Jolly. That's a very, very straight, really clear. Already, Buka Pili. Please don't surprise us.
Like, how many kids
were
they
go from Nigeria? Okay. So, Rababa Bid, and they've always been clear, Hore, you really have to study. I mean, the similar concept and agenda was pushed to Makulara and Spikes. Mm. Our coaches used to interact with our parents to say, when the kids leave here, they come to home. We release them, for instance, at 6. They should be there around 7.
Yeah.
So there was no time to come with them shiga. So.
Of a coffee conversation in studio, we are joined by Dr. Kokecho Tsebe, and we are getting to know her a little better. You know all about her work. I don't even think she needed an introduction because she has been on newspapers, she has been on television, she has been on radio, everywhere you can think of. Of a coffee conversation continues in studio. We are joined by Dr. Kokecho Tsebe, who is an award-winning clinical psychologist. You know, growing up, we all thought that our parents were raising kids. They were raising a daughter, they were raising a son. Kanti, they were raising their own little investments. And that's why they had to influence the kind of careers that we go into. Did your parents influence you or try to change your mind about the dream you had been holding on to from grade 10 to do something else that they believe could be better paying?
Not even, you know, complexion. Not even. I think for them it was to encourage me and support me with whatever career path that I'm taking.
Okay.
So I always knew. I remember at one point my mom used to say that you can study as far as you want to be. Even if you go until doctorate without working, we are here to support you. So you can imagine. And you also had to, I had to make them understand the career path that I'm taking. What does it mean? I mean, for one to qualify as a psychologist, the minimum requirement, you must have a master's. I said, let
really
tell it. Yeah. And, but for them, it was for as long as you get to achieve what you want. And I knew that I have the utmost support.
So, I mean, as a young person deciding to go this journey, and I can imagine for you to only be recognized as a psychologist at master's level, I can imagine the years and all of that and the ups and downs and the consultations and everything. At any point, did you feel like, I'll just stop here and I'm sure I can get something else along this industry or something?
And probably had a crappy supervisor too.
Oh, also there's that.
We need to talk about those when we find time.
Yo, Mpo, it has never got to that point. Though there've been extreme challenges. To tell you what, you know, to do master's in clinical psychology selections. And I always tell people that it took me 3 years to make it to selections. I've been to different universities. I've been to Tsfako Makgatho. I've been to University of KZN. And I failed selections.
Because there's a minimum number of people.
Yes.
That's the thing. I've always wondered why that happens.
Yes. And I went through that, Mpo. I went through that, the rejection. But actually, they made me more stronger. You know, sometimes people get to see this side of Kokecho.
Yeah.
But not knowing that there was a 3 years where, like, things were on hold. We prayed faster. We applied.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm a very, very, very hopeful person. I knew that it's communicating something. And I said, you know what, Lord, the day you give me any opportunity that I want now, I will never take it for granted. And I believe that's part of the reason why I can never take opportunities and my work for granted, because I know how it feels to want something so bad and you don't get it.
You know, looking at people in your profession, the very exact profession, not everyone at your age is where you are, and not everyone has done what you've done. What do you think sets you apart? And what opened those very, what looks like very difficult doors to open? You know, what opened that path for you? That when we look at you, it just looks like you are acing through everything.
A tricky one. But you know what? I work hard and quite disciplined, I must say. I pride myself as a very disciplined person. And that's such, and I'm persistent. If I say I want this, I'm going to work on it. Regardless of how they've never been somebody who has been there, you're going to be the first. I'll just find a way to read. I do a lot of consultations. And if I see complexion, I can send an email properly to say, can we have a conversation? Because I value conversations. Because at times people think you grow when you get like direct opportunities, for example. But having meaningful conversations with people who have been there, and they take you through and they give you a mentorship, you know, which can be informal. And I value that. I think when I look around, I look that I've actually established very healthy relationships where I can have any form of advice, and that actually keeps me going.
Yeah. How old were you when you acquired your PhD?
I think I was around 30. Yes.
30.
Around
30. My goodness.
And you did this at 40 hair, right?
Yes.
And I know, I mean, it's a very gruesome process. Yeah. And extremely intense, you know. So how did you manage to, like, to divide your time and for you to be present and everything? How did you plan for that time?
I must say that having Prof. Leon van Niekerk, who was my PhD supervisor, and now we're actually colleagues, it helped because we had to somehow create a structure of how we're going to meet. So I used to live in three provinces, come to think of it, Rijk in Kopani, and I'm based in Pretoria, and then I'm studying in East London. And then I have to divide these weekends. Some belongs to Bagatsebe. Then we belongs to Fort Hare. And at least I still have to find my own time. So having a supportive supervisor actually worked. And he told me that, you know what, I believe in you. Prof believe in me. And he's somebody that I can always lean back on, even to date. To say, if we do like this and you adhere to our structures, you're actually going to get your doctorate at a given period, at a specific period. So he encouraged me all the way. Yeah. So you spoke about supervisors. I actually had a very good supervisor.
That's not every
Shout
day.
Out to Prof.
What was the toughest part for you during that period about acquiring your PhD?
The toughest part for me, it was having to juggle a lot of responsibilities. And I think also having to do studying sports psychology. I'm trained as a clinical psychology and the technical language, and having to read a lot and familiarize myself. What does it mean? Because I knew that I must get it right because I want to practice in sports. The reading and understanding the concepts, I think it was quite challenging.
What would you say to someone right now who is pursuing their PhD and they feel like they are losing their mind? Because I've spoken to a lot of depressed people that are going through the very same journey, but it's tough.
Look, PhD is a process. And I think at times we become, I've engaged with people, they're already thinking of the end. Be in the process, be in the moment. It will lead to the end. And experience each highs and lows of any PhD journey, because that what would also make you a better graduate.
Sure. Our conversation with Dr. Kokecho Tsebe continues. So you had the opportunity of traveling with Banyana and to the World Cup, and this was a very difficult time, I think, because of the drama prior to leaving the country. How was the mood like? What were they going through? The kind of space that they found themselves in?
Look, that team, it's a very optimistic team. I think what you've seen from the outside, this is essentially what's happening internally.
Sure.
Very courageous and willing to really work and represent the women in football.
So when you're in that kind of a space, what is your role? Not only to the team, to the ladies, but also when you get calls from people like us journalists trying to get, you know, information, hey, what's going on? So what is your role in that whole situation?
It's a simple ethics. We account to the Health Profession Council of South Africa. This is taps into also our integrity as a psychologist. So I don't really entertain that. And I think people that knows me, they know they can't get anything from me regarding all the teams I work with. And my role as a team psychologist for any other team, because I've worked with other teams apart from, in addition rather, with Banyana, is to cater for the emotional needs and support of the overall team, including technical team, to give a continuous support, and to also have an open door policy that they can come for individual sessions. We have individual sessions, group, and to facilitate activities that actually strengthen team cohesion. So I take care of the emotions of the whole team.
So I can imagine. The thing is, talking to a psychologist, it's really difficult for you to be a once-off experience. It's something that happens, and the more it happens over time, the more it's beneficial. So do you find that you get that kind of space, not only for a game, but perhaps even outside the borders of a game, to engage the players?
Yes. Actually, we when we work and prepare for a given tournament, we always make sure that these sessions prior to competition, we try our level best to have an open door policy that athletes can come and see. Like now, we're also preparing for the Paris Olympics just to make sure that athletes can come and see us. During competition, we'll be there, even post that. So our goal as psychologists is actually to give pre, during and post psychological support.
When you're a psychologist and you have such a great responsibility, before you of assisting other people, how do you keep your own mental health in check? Do you go to a fellow psychologist? Do you diagnose yourself?
Ngakai kalafi. Mpatavu. Ngakai kalafi. I do go to therapy continuously. I have a therapist. But also, you know, in therapy, you also learn to become aware how certain things impact on you, and also how to differentiate context.
Sure.
Because somehow when you are working with teams, you somehow assume a meta perspective position. You just see it in a very aerial view. And be aware. I think a sense of self-awareness actually assists me to know when I need to zoom in and zoom out to break and come in, because I have a responsibility at that time to be able to assist the team function psychologically.
Yeah. How is it like dating a psychologist?
Oh, diagnose.
You see, this problem is from childhood.
It's the traumas you experienced.
It's the trauma you suffered. I understand.
I can say, I don't know.
But what have they told you?
What are they saying? You're delivering.
And none of them. I don't know.
So you've never diagnosed anyone in a relationship before?
I become coquette.
I saw the look in her eyes.
don't men find you intimidating? I mean, a lot of men find women who are as educated as you are and with all the achievements that you have very intimidating. Malfrey.
Papa is listening, or Mama is listening, or Muti is listening.
And they're probably blushing. You know, my parents are laughing wherever they are. But what do you?
And talking about parents, you know, as a qualified psychologist, when you go home, two things. Do they, you know, like that pride, and also that thing, yeah, when there's any friction in the family, because is qualified.
You know what's interestingly, they embrace communication.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was young, I used to call meetings to say, I'm not happy about 1, 2, 3. And sometimes when you do it in friendships, for example, people think you're bringing psychology. But this is how I was brought up, that we speak about issues. It has always been like that. So now it doesn't mean that they have a daughter who's a psychologist, then it's her responsibility. No, the system has always been functioning in that fashion, that embraced communication, expressing our feelings and resolving issues.
Yeah.
So that's how it has always been. But to answer to the other question regarding a sense of pride, I understand, you know. I understand where they're coming from. I think when I got a doctorate, I could feel like my dad started to call me Dr. Tsebe. And tell my mom, I like Dr. Tsebe. Because my mom picked up on her. I like Dr. Tsebe.
Over coffee conversation in studio, we are joined by award-winning clinical psychologist representing Mahwele Ring and South Africa to the world, Dr. Kokecho Tsebe. You know, if we had to start talking about how many times you have been recognized in sports, I don't think we will finish. But every time you get the nod, who is that one person that you give a call and say, yo, you're not going to believe this?
The couple.
Okay.
I'm a pillar mogo, so you know when I call home, they're together.
Yeah.
Either call mama or papa guy, and then mama, shuki nenien, and then I give them context. Yeah. This is what's happening. This is what it means, because I know at times it means it's going to be part of the media. So they get to know early after I get that call.
And the response usually became?
What happened? And then they pray. And even when I get home, my mom likes to celebrate. She'll always say, "Oh, Kaningai, happy Sunday, Rapedish," and we must also celebrate.
That's beautiful. And talking about the recognition, recently, the recognition as a finalist for the G Spot Awards. How was that?
It was quite very, very, very amazing. Especially because I was actually shortlisted with women who have contributed largely in the sports fraternity. So I was quite humbled to realize that actually there are people who are watching and who are noticing the work that I do. It's just a good feedback.
That's beautiful. You know, you are a very calm person. You come across as really self-assured. And I don't know if this has to do with just who you are as a person or if psychology plays a role in that. But a lot of women struggle with the imposter syndrome, especially the higher up they go. And when more doors are open for them and when they have to walk into powerful rooms with powerful individuals. For you, when you recognize that, oh my goodness, this is me, Kokejo, Dr. Kokejo, and I'm walking into these spaces. You know, what goes through your mind? Are you there and you are trusting in who you are that you can do this? Or do you have moments where those little, you know, doubts just set in and speak negatively?
Listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat to say I don't have experiences where I feel like, like you said, the higher you go, there are those moments. And I think these are some of the things I've discussed with people like you. If I were to ask, how do you do with it? You know, having to engage with others who've been through that. And you realize it's times that their lived experience actually are quite similar. And these are also the things that I discuss in my personal development mentorship and also in therapy. So I integrate all these learnings and put them together as I advance through different stages.
Yeah, I'm going to use this opportunity and also tap into the fact that June is also Men's Mental Health Month. And what do you say to men or people who act like they have it all together? What are the long-term effects of that?
It can lead to underlying psychological issues and in a way that actually you create a sense of emotional clutter that at some point when you finally have to get certain triggers, it does not necessarily become a good position to be in, because for so long you kept trying to put a brave face, maybe because of issues around culture and societal expectations. But it's okay, you know, learn to be vulnerable and to be true to the self so that you can also be proactively eliminate any levels of suffering from a given specific disorder such as depression.
Yeah. Through this session that we have just had with you right now, would you be able to look at me or look at Mpo and tell what underlying issues are we suffering from? I mean, come on, I'm saving you your medical aid here.
You want to do this in 2 minutes?
Summarize your entire childhood.
Isn't that the reason why, like in TV, we get like the couch and you lie on the couch and you start talking? Bam! They see the trauma. Hey, they line up the trauma. Here's a message that says, good morning, team, to Dr. Kokejo. I'm so proud of you, Mfanaka. I know how hard you work. I know how professional and disciplined you are when coming to your work and career. God bless you, Mfanaka, from MDT in Tsini.
What else is next for you? I mean, you are also a lecturer at UNISA, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what else is there to achieve for Dr. Tsebe?
Before I respond, let me acknowledge MTT. Thank you so much for the good message.
Sure.
Thank you for being a very supportive friend. I appreciate you, Mkhotsi. What's next? As a lecturer, as you said, I have a responsibility to train masters and PhD students as a research supervisor. So I'm at a path where I'm training also them research-wise, of course, that's my primary responsibility, but also additionally exposing them to the world of sports. Because I understand how difficult it may be, and it can't be a world of Kokejo Tsebe. There has to be many other practitioners and researchers in sports psychology. We are addressing key issues, national agenda, issues that are linked with the NDP, issues that are actually linked to the AU as well, 2030 AU agenda rather. So I am working on training more practitioners so that they can be able to be involved and get their space. It's no longer about what I had goals to want. I want to be like, I want to fit a World Cup. I've done that. I've been given an opportunity.
Sure.
Let's open the door and allow others also.
Yeah. Whenever you need extra hands to help you count your money, you must call us. Hey, those salaries, I'm thinking, yeah. Your pay slip is an A2.
Page size.
Did you guys also get bonuses during the time that they were giving Banyana Banyana?
I have to be honest, yes. Safa, and thank you so much to Safa.
Yes,
Safa.
Girl.
Okay.
Yes,
that's beautiful.
Go get your
back. And we thank you so much.
Before we let you go, let's play a quick game. We need you to answer as quickly as possible, all right? So you're ready.
Okay.
Okay? Who's your favorite person right now?
One person. Look, I must be quick. My parents.
Okay. Chiefs or Pirates?
I support national teams. None of the above.
Okay. How many spoons of sugar?
None.
Okay. Hotel or camping?
Camping.
Banyana or Bafana?
for both.
Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Which letter is silent in lasagna?
G.
Yeah, you're right. Which member of my Mafikizola passed away?
Kitavogo.
Heels or sneakers?
Ovi
sneakers. There we go, sneakers. What's the naughtiest thing you ever did growing up?
Very disciplined.
I gotta
child.
Drop the music for this one.
Naughty thing I did. There was no room for being naughty. Hey?
Mm-hmm.
Was there? No.
You've never slept out, jumped a stop nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
What's an agamasa?
I've never done
once
that.
Once I'm trying to shimana
Mafasa.
No, I've never done
right.
that.
Hey.
I think I explored life when I was at UL.
Ah.
Lied about your timetable adversity.
No!
Ms. Kona, you're living a school life.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
All right, dinner date or movie date?
Let's do dinner.
Okay. Are you a saver or a spender?
A saver.
What's the last thing you bought?
The last thing that I bought?
Mm-hmm. Anything. What's the last thing you bought?
Yeah. I bought water.
You bought water, okay.
Mm.
Do you like surprises or planned things?
I'm quite a planner, so okay. Let's plan.
All right. Winter or summer?
Oh, definitely summer.
So you're not here for this season, right?
No, I'm going to get a readjust because Kifurile, hey, please back up.
Dr. Ogojo, thank you for coming through and spending time with us. Really appreciate it. And we wish you all the best and continue opening more doors for these people that are coming up that you are training. We see you as a light and we hope that you'll succeed more and keep Limpopo and Jay shining because you are that shining light from the province.
Thank you so much for your continuous support, colleagues. Sorry, I said colleagues. It's morning now. I'm working. Thank you so much for the breakfast team. I speak with you individually on different levels, on different conversations, and I thank you so much. And I thank also to the province of Limpopo and to the listeners.
There we go. Award-winning clinical psychologist, Dr. Ogejo Tsebe.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.